Hello, everyone, and welcome. It's the Full Press NFL Podcast. My name is Ian Glendon, and it is Tuesday, October the 4th, which means, yes, that's right, folks, another edition of Studs and Duds. So let's jump right into it. Braden, good morning, good afternoon, whatever time zone you're in, wherever you're listening to this, or listening to me, rather. How you doing after another Chiefs victory weekend?
Doing pretty well. It was a wild weekend of football, kind of the exact opposite of what I expected in that Chiefs game. I didn't really expect hardly any points, so it was definitely an entertaining weekend for sure.
Well, and here's the deal. we're gonna jump right into this, and I've had my share of quarterback discussions over the last 48 or 24 hours or whatever you want to say, 48 hours or whatnot. And I'm absolutely sick of them. So I want to get to a more reasonable discussion because, obviously, and we see this all the time. It's the flashiness and highlight reel plays are what gets people going, and I get that. I understand because this is what we live in. We live in a highlight reel on your phone in the moment type of society. But what I saw Sunday night between the Bucks and the Chiefs was top-notch quarterback play on both sides, and that's where I'm going to start with my first stud, and it's both of them. I get obviously on people about kind of the over the top coronation of Patrick Mahomes, and that doesn't mean that I don't think he's a great quarterback. It's just I feel like people tend to go a little bit over the top, and it does kind of take away, I think, from what he did. But the bottom line is what we saw Sunday night between both quarterbacks, and I know the narrative around Brady is a lot different, but what we saw from both quarterbacks was just phenomenal quarterback play. I don't care about the interception late. I don't really care. There were very few, if any, mistakes by both quarterbacks in that game. And we saw two offenses really go toe to toe. And look, I mean, an unfortunate a punt fumble to start the game really put the Buccaneers behind the eight ball right from the get-go. But both Brady and Mahomes were delivering all night. I think at one point Tom Brady threw 26 straight passes,
Oh,
and
wow.
yeah, it's which again, it's how do you know what he's going to do, but you still can't stop it. But and again, with obviously with Mahomes, he had a great game as well. I thought they were both phenomenal, and it was really kind of when you take yourself out of the toxic conversation that basically follows both of those quarterbacks. It was really a joy to watch. So I thought both of them were stellar in their for their respective teams. Unfortunately, from my point of view, Brady came up on the short end in the win-loss column, but I thought they were both excellent. So that was my first stud for the week.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with those two as well. And it was kind of just like I said, didn't expect a lot of points, but it was kind of amazing to see both offenses kind of finally getting back to what they do best and just keeping the ball in their quarterback's hands with Brady. I didn't realize he had that many passes in a row at one point, but there was just a lot of plays where he was delivering it deep down the field. And even when I think guys like Jalen Watson had some good coverage. You put the ball right where it needed to be. So that's the thing with Brady that continues to continue to be better than most quarterbacks is his accuracy and his deliverance downfield. And I think with Mahomes, it was just better pocket awareness than the week before. Obviously had some plays where he extended, but I think just the ball placement is something with him when he's on. It really stands out and it's crazy how different that can be week to week, but I think that kind of l late throw to Kelce was one that really stands out on the back shoulder where Kelce kind of fell on his back. And then there was just some other ones in between defenders where Mahomes was pinpoint. So I have to agree with you, both quarterbacks and just for these teams, it's good to see for them, these offenses getting back to what they do best, kind of trusting the quarterback and not trying to do a little too much of being balanced.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. You put the ball into two players that are arguably the two best at their position, and success follows. So I'll throw it to you for your number one. Or actually, no, I guess you went first, so I'll give your number two stud for the week, and I'll follow suit.
Yeah, my number two this week is going to be Jordan Poyer. I always kind of have to feel like I have to dig a little bit to maybe find a defensive player with how much we focus on offensive guys. And I'm gonna go with Bills safety Jordan Poyer. Two interceptions in this game. He's already got four interceptions on the season. His last of the two interceptions was on that fourth and goal play where the Ravens went for it, and obviously led to the Bills getting that game-winning drive and stealing that game, and another comeback for Buffalo in this one. So Jordan Poyer in this game, with those interceptions, kind of just was able to show off his instincts, and I think, you know, he is a free agent this upcoming off season. So with how much Buffalo's already paying other guys, it'll be interesting to see if he's gonna remain as part of that Bills defense. But he was a driving force in helping that defense kind of get back into that game, and the Bills able to move to 3-1. So two interceptions for Jordan Poyer.
Yeah, I sometimes try to dig deep for those defensive players. Other times I just go straight to the quarterbacks because sometimes there's a lot to choose from. And I feel like I have to give this guy my number two or number two stud of the week. I got to give this guy credit because I never imagined that after Dak Prescott went down after week one, that the Cowboys would win their next three games. But here we are, and the Cowboys are 3-0. Absent Dak Prescott, and Cooper Rush is the guy leading the offense. So, another solid game this week. And again, Dallas has talent. They were the number one offense last year. Now, you know, you got rid of some of that in the offseason, and the offensive line may not be as stout as it once was, but it doesn't mean that they can't capture some of that success they had last season. So, I've been impressed with what we've seen from him. I believe he has one more start. Correct me if I'm wrong. And then they anticipate Dak Prescott back, or Dak Prescott may even be ready to go this week. So it's getting close to closing the door on Cooper Rush. But boy, the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, 3-0 and in Dak Prescott's absence. And I'm shocked, to be honest with you. So I guess I'll go to my number three. And again, sticking with the theme of quarterbacks, and another guy that's absolutely surprised me this season, Jared Goff. Jared Goff, four touchdowns, one interception this past week. He's, I dare I say, found a bit of a fountain of youth, so to speak, because I didn't expect him to. I mean, I understand the Lions have talent, absolutely, no doubt about it. They had talent when Matt Stafford was there too, you know, don't forget that. But I look at Jared Goff and I'm like, wow, this guy's playing really good football. We're a month into the season. You know, this isn't just 1 week. We're a month into the season. And this Lions offense, you can argue, might be the most explosive unit in the league. And Jared Goff is a big reason why. And we saw that again last week. So number three stud for me this week. Got to give him credit because I don't know how many other times or opportunities he's going to have going forward to be on this list. So I'm going to throw him a bone and say Jared Goff, number three stud for me.
Yeah, and that was definitely impressive because he was without DeAndre Swift, DJ
Yes.
Chark, and Amon Ross St. Brown in that game, and they still put 45 points on the board. I think we were talking before we started recording. I think he's tied with Patrick Mahomes and one other quarterback that's escaping my mind right now with passing touchdowns leading the league. So that's definitely a good quarterback. But I'm actually going to go back to the other one you mentioned for my number three in Cooper Rush. And I think first Dallas Cowboys quarterback in franchise history to start his career 4-0 with that team, obviously 3-0 this season. And I think it's just how easy he's kind of made it look distributing the football to different guys spreading it around the field. And it's almost kind of comical to see some of these weapons right now. They almost look a little more comfortable than they did week one with Dak. And I don't think this team's going to give up, obviously, on Dak Prescott, given the contract that they gave him, but I could see Jerry Jones doing something stupid and kind of making this a bigger deal than it really is. But I got to give credit to Cooper Rush, just consistently solid these last few weeks, and like I said, kind of making it look easy how much he's spreading it around and distributing it for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I was like many, and I saw when Dak Prescott went down, I was like, man, I just don't think this team's going to be able to win too many games because, like, look, I based on what I saw in week one, and what we've seen transpire over the offseason, you got to figure, yeah, this team's going to take a step back. And they look again, I had them dead in the water. I didn't think they were going to win one game, let alone three. So, yeah. And again, sometimes you never know where those quarterbacks are going to come from. So, all right, let's get to duds, because I got some good duds to complain about here. And my number one dud, and you know, I'll let you elaborate on this as well. John Harbaugh. I'm consistent when it comes to complaining about over the top usage of going on it and being aggressive, you know, going for it and being aggressive. And I thought the decision to go for it, as opposed to kicking a field goal, was absolutely foolish. And this was the reason why. And I know people like, oh, you have Lamar Jackson, you have this, it was 4th and inches, blah, 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 blah. You were up 20-3. And you blew that lead and had not scored in what? Over a two-quarter stretch at that
I
point? I
believe so, yeah. I believe
you,
so.
Late in the game, you take the points. I don't care what the winning percentage, whatever, tells you, you take the points. And guess what? They don't. They fail. They lose. Very simple. Very straightforward. And again, this is a decision that comes solely on the coach. I mean, this idea that being aggressive is gutsy or bold or whatever, I mean, sure, it can be. It doesn't mean it happens all the time. And more often than not, these decisions are made in a whim and not necessarily taking into account the situation. I thought that's what happened this past week. And look, the Ravens, you know, Lamar Jackson may, you know, be on his way to another MVP. That's the type of play he's been playing like. I mean, it's early in the season, so there's plenty of open talk for multiple players, and he's certainly in the mix. Not only will the Ravens possibly waste, you know, another season, or perhaps his last season in Baltimore, but you're blowing opportunities against really good teams like Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Like you can't do that. And again, that to me falls on the coach based on the decision. So number one dud for me is John Harbaugh, but I'll let you take it away.
Yeah, I mean, just from his press conference when he used the word, you know, analytically, I don't really take much away usually from press conferences, but I guess whenever those kind of words, analytics and everything, are thrown into it, I don't really understand, you know, how much faith some of these guys have in that. But yeah, I have the entire Ravens, just because outside of Harbaugh, I mean, this is probably the worst Ravens defense that I can remember. I know they let Wink Martindale go, which was kind of an interesting decision, but really from the D line all the way back to the secondary, this group's just given up too many explosive plays. Even in a win the week before against the Patriots, I mean, New England was really hitting on some shots down the field. So I don't know if this Ravens defense is going to be good enough to carry them to, you know, a playoff victory or not this season. And offensively, just watching this whole game, it seemed like they were really rattled when Bills were kind of taking away those big shots and Lamar had to check it down. So I think just the entire Ravens team, you know, a second blown lead this season at home. I think going back to last season, they've lost 5 or 6 games in a row. So just not the same kind of formula we're used to seeing from the Ravens. And they're blowing very, very prime opportunities to kind of climb these AFC standings. So the Ravens are number one for me.
Yeah, and look, I agree with everything that you said, because, you know, it feels like Baltimore has an opportunity, you know, in a division that is, you know, you have a team like the Bengals who, you know, I think they're finding their way. And look, Baltimore probably missed an opportunity to gain a little ground on them. And who knows what's going to happen if Burrow does to figure it out. If that offensive line does kind of tighten up, all of a sudden that Bengals team might not look so much like the joke that they have been the first couple weeks, or they had been the first couple weeks of the season. My number two, actually, no, that's you. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. Go ahead. Give me your number two, Dud.
All right, yeah, my number two dud is going to be the Los Angeles Rams Monday Night Football. I know they've continually struggled against the San Francisco 49ers, but last night was probably one of the more embarrassing losses they've had to them. Last year, they kind of went through the stretch offensively where they just weren't in sync, And I think this actually might be a worse stretch than what we saw last year. Matthew Stafford just pretty much all season hasn't looked comfortable in the pocket. And I get they don't have a couple of their weapons right now. We'll see if Odell Beckham Jr. goes back to them this season. Van Jefferson has missed the entire year so far. So when it's really just Cooper Kupp and a little bit of Tyler Higbee, I mean, there's just not a lot of options for this team that you're used to seeing be explosive. And even the defense in this game, they kind of just looked punchless. San Francisco took it to them up front. And obviously on that one highlight reel play by Debo Samuel, their tackling was pretty awful on that play. So I get they've kind of used this stars and scrubs formula for a while, but this Rams team just looks like they've taken a lot of steps back after winning the Super Bowl last year. And just did not show up on Monday Night Football at all.
Yeah, and look, it's great that you picked them, because my number two dud is specifically Matt Stafford, and mainly because of just the turnovers. I mean, 6 interceptions already this season, another one, obviously, a pick six this past week. It looks more and more like what I don't want to say was obvious, but was certainly a possibility when you're evaluating the long-term prospects of this Rams team, and that it's more likely they kind of caught lightning in a bottle. And I don't mean that to diminish what they did. They had a great season last year. But, you know, Matt Stafford, in my opinion, is a very talented guy. But he's not this guy that was being, you know, saddled down by the Lions. Yes, I know the Lions organization was not great. But I think for too long, he got kind of a pass for what quite frankly is pretty terrible quarterback play. And it happens with Matt Stafford. He's either really good or he just isn't. And that happens often enough that you can never really depend on him long-term, because you never know when something like that's going to happen. I mean, that was another bad performance by him. Yes. I mean, talent is missing on this team, but that's the nature of the NFL. We've seen other teams adjust. I mean, obviously, look at Kansas City. I mean, you need to learn to adjust with changes, and that's how you maintain success. And I think a lot of people have rightfully knocked the Rams' methods. That criticism, you can say, just goes out the window once you win a Super Bowl. But the reality now with the Super Bowl in the rearview mirror is this Rams team might be being set up for a very long period of mediocrity at best, because once you start to get through all this and realize this team doesn't have a lot of talent beyond their stars, then what happens when those stars contracts no longer dictate, you know, they're no longer what do you want to call it, appropriate for their play? Because eventually that's going to happen, and maybe Jalen Ramsey has already hit that point, because he was awful again. So I could have gone with you and said the whole Rams team, but I chose specifically Matt Stafford, because again, I think the turnovers have just been bad, and the lack of production on the other side of the ball makes it even worse. So number three for me is a cool team, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. And not because there is some great expectation or you know, I think we kind of realize that the Colts aren't a great team, but how do you lay an absolute egg after that big win over the Chiefs the week before? You know what I mean? Like, they came out and they were just non-competitive. Really, they stunk. Matt Ryan stunk. I mean, this team stunk. Jonathan Taylor's out. You know, I just don't get it. I feel like the Colts, and this has been going on for a while, the Colts have done more to prevent themselves from being successful than I could imagine. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're always getting in their own way. They hire the wrong coach, or they decide not to go after Tom Brady and go Phillip Rivers. Like, I mean, how dumb was that decision, you know? And then again, you know, decide that, you know, hey, we're going to do that. I don't know. To me, I look at this Colts organization, and it's a far cry from what they were when Peyton Manning was there. But again, that's the reason why, because they have not found Peyton Manning, and not going to. I mean, maybe Andrew Luck could have been that, but as we know, that's not going to happen. So after a huge win against the Chiefs, I just felt like the Colts laid such a big dud that, well, guess what? They deserve to be one of my duds this week. So number three for me are the Indianapolis Colts across the board. Offense, defense, coaching, special teams, management, ownership, everything.
Yeah, that's a good one. I probably didn't think of as much as I should have. I mean, Jim Irsay, I think at this point is very, very close to wanting to move on from Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, and we've seen so many band-aids year after year at the quarterback position get put on that team since Andrew Luck's retired. So eventually the formula is going to have to change. I'm going to go with another team that had a division loss this week and maybe another team that might need a new coach soon. And that's the Washington Commanders. Just Ron Rivera is probably one of the nicest guys I'm sure in the league, but I just think this team week after week just looks so unmotivated, unprepared. I get they're dealing with some injuries right now too, up front, but Carson Wentz is sacked, I think, more than any quarterback already this season. And it's hard to say how much of that's just him, how much of it's the offensive line, but this team was so close to, it seemed like breaking through a couple of years ago. And now they've kind of just got stuck in this muddy middle where they're going to have to make some tough decisions soon. And it could be still quite a while before they get back to competing again. So this one's kind of like my Chargers one from last week. I don't think it's just a 1 week performance, but the long-term effects for this franchise is looking pretty bleak in my opinion. So I got to go with Washington.
Yeah, and that's a team too that their issues might not be solved. I know it's not technically on the field football related, but those issues might not be solved until they clean house. And I don't mean just the coaching staff. I mean ownership and trickle down all the way through. So that's going to do it for our studs and duds for week four, almost week five. Tune in tomorrow where I am joined by John Sapicetti, and we're going to give our top five NFL teams. Are the Eagles still tops? Are the Chiefs moving up? I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out. Just tune in tomorrow. And of course, next week, Brayden and I will be back for yet another edition of Studs and Duds. So thank you, everyone. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Full Press NFL and head over to fullpresscoverage.com to check out all the latest from our great writers, editors, and podcasters. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we will talk to you soon.